Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Studio that Acast have.
Fancy.
I love that. Oh my god, guys, you've only got till 6 p.m. tomorrow to book tickets for the Nobody Panic Christmas party at Altitude London on the top of a tower. And we've got canapes, and Tessa's sister is making mince pies, and we've got a free drink for people, and we've got goodie bags, we've got a raffle. And I'm
we've
so
got
excited.
Loads of Christmas spirit.
So much. I think
Stevie's wearing a Christmas hat right now.
I'm wearing a Christmas hat right now. I won't be taking it off. I haven't taken it off for the last month. It's going to be the most Christmassy Eve. So if you are, also we're not, like it says 7 p.m. We're not going to start the recording at dead on 7. Probably like 7:30. So if you're like, I'm not going to be able to make it, you can. And
it's a V casual affair.
So casual.
It's a sort of roll in. And then keep on roll around the room. Number.
Roll in, have a piss, and then leave.
That's the stuff. That's it. That's all we're asking.
That's what I want. But today's episode, and this was one that Tessa suggested, which is how to believe in yourself, which I think is a really great, very relatable topic.
Yes, I wrote into the podcast and I said.
And I said no. Mm. And then Tessa then read her own email and
said, we're doing
accepted
this.
It. And also, thank you so much for people who've messaged and emailed us about Christmas topics. We're going to be tackling it in a live one because we thought we'd do all of the different kind of Christmas topics in one. We're going to be doing how to survive Christmas. So if you're listening, being like, well, you just ignored me, Stevie. You said you'd do it, but you didn't. I haven't. We are going to do it.
They'll all be there in the live recording.
So exciting.
Which is about surviving Christmas, and it'll be about everything.
Just literally everything.
Like, actually, like, too much. Like, yeah. There'll be so much stuff.
You'd be like, please stop. What adult thing have you done this week?
What adult thing have you done this week?
Oh, thanks. I paired my socks. Not, like, once. As in, like, you know when you put something in place that you're like, oh, my God, this is a process, and now every time I do this thing, I will have changed it, rather than like, I just tidied my room once. There's a difference, as you've told me, with the Marie Kondo method.
Absolutely, yes.
You could tidy your room once and then it just gets messy again. But actually, a deep Marie Kondo clean,
yes,
changes your lifestyle, your way of living. I'm not the sort of person that would do a big change like Marie Kondo, yes. But what I have done is I just buy so many socks, and I buy them all the same color, white and then black. She's actually brought Marie Kondo with her.
I literally got it,
is showing it to me.
I've literally got Marie Kondo.
Just in case you need to do some tidying now.
I want to go do another episode about Marie Kondo.
I think the world is crying out for
begging for it, gagging for the stuff.
We need it. But I think Marie Kondo would approve of this rather than just. So I just always have one sock. And I'm
yes.
like, but I've bought 40, like, and they're all the same. How have I got? Where have you got socks?
Yes,
and
so what have you done?
Can't stand it. And then I started to get nice socks, ones with like little patterns on. I was like, I can't lose these because then I can't just pair them with another one.
Mm-hmm.
So now I just, every time I put them in the laundry basket, I pair them and put them together. Whereas I used to just be like, take them off, put them in, they'll find each other in the bin.
That's song, very good.
The song, no, it's not. The song is misleading because you put them in the bin, they don't find each other, then one's alone and you're crying and then you're like, oh no, they were lovers,
yes,
and they were friends,
mm,
and now they can't find each other. And what if I've paired them with one that looks the same because it was from the same packet, but it's not the sock he wants to be paired
no.
with. There's too much happening psychologically that I have to unpack.
God, lot going
that's
on.
A separate thing, mm, but just practically thought I'd attack the pairing. So now they go into the washing machine and they're all like a little ball and they still wash.
Okay.
They come out into a little ball and then I just hang them up together on the.
So I'm worried they don't wash properly in the ball.
Right. I thought that as I said it, but I'm not willing to accept questions.
Okay.
At this stage, we're in teething stages.
Absolutely teething stage.
But no.
Can we troubleshoot?
No, the HR department.
For the soft launch. Of
they've
the
got socks. All your concerns yeah. and we'll be working through it for the hard launch,
okay.
which will be in January 2019.
This is such good prep.
Yes.
What about you take them off, you ball them, they go in the laundry basket.
Okay.
Then they're still in the ball to the washing machine. And then just outside the washing machine door,
oh, no.
you separate... into the washing
they'll
machine.
They'll be gone.
You think it'll happen? I think, the separation
I think
still
the
happen.
Washing machine sucks my socks up. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how else. I think over the last 3 months, I've bought, like 40 socks. And I've in my sock drawer now, I have about 10. I'm like, I don't understand how that's happened. But they are all in pairs now, so that's good. But yes, I hear you. That may be January 2019. But as I said, like, I don't know what the HR department are planning.
No, exactly. It could
it's
be
not
anything.
Down to me. I'm just
it could
the messenger.
Be some kind of app or some kind of peg thing to keep
a
your socks together.
Sock peg.
Or perhaps it's a deep dive into the sock psyche. And actually, they don't want to be with their partner. And that's where they flee so
that
quickly.
Has immediately helped me so much.
Yeah, right.
That they actually don't. Good. Okay. Do you remember there was this film last year, or maybe it was early this year? Because this year's been the longest year in the world. Someone told me that the Black Panther came out this year. I was like, what? Surely that was 10 years ago. I don't
this
understand.
Extraordinary. The psyche of the socks, they want to be separate?
Oh, yes. There was a film, maybe last year, called Sausage Party.
Oh, yes.
And it was like all the kind
oh,
of
yes.
Seth Rogen, that vibe. Mm. Judd
Bad
Apatow.
Gang. Kristen Wiig.
And they voiced, and it was like claymation, like Wallace and Gromit style
I don't believe
stop
it was,
motion.
Actually.
Oh, was it not?
It's animation.
In my head, it's absolutely not animation. But okay, so it's an animated film.
CGI
And
animation.
It's about food that's like, in the trailer, it was like peas and sausages and all like, hee hee. And then they're like, oh my God, we're going to get eaten. And then it turns into a horror movie trailer where like they're desperately trying to avoid being like cooked, burnt alive. It's like, I do not have the bandwidth.
No.
To cope
I saw
that
trailer.
That.
I could not believe that was a film.
Couldn't believe it got past the censors.
No, I was like, no way.
Absolutely dreadful.
It's absolutely horrendous. I was like, I'll never eat again.
It's hard enough, pet, like, with your socks. Like, don't talk to me about my peas are crying.
No, exactly.
Like that mushy pea out of it ages ago. Do you remember when we were growing up together? disclaimer, we didn't grow up together.
In our, on our rural farm.
On our rural farm that
France.
We both operated. There was a mushy pea advert.
Oh,
and
God,
it was a pea, a close-up of a pea, and then a voiceover trying to make the pea sad. The pea started crying, so it became mushy.
Oh, fuck. Yes, I do remember that.
It was horrible.
I was also thinking about the... Oh, my God. I was also thinking about the Ribena advert where the one berry... The one blackcurrant couldn't get in.
Yes, he couldn't get in.
And then he wanted to be squashed. It was like, it was so confusing.
Because all his friends got squashed and he was like, I'm away. And then they were like, ah, no. And then
they
squashed him.
No, I think he wanted to be in, but he didn't realise what was involved. It's that sort of, oh, crap.
I'm sorry. Right, let's bring it back. Let's
bring it back.
Bring it back. What's your adult thing?
My adult thing is saying thank you to you.
Okay.
Stevie.
Thank you.
Because... I haven't been very vocal about this to anybody, but certainly not on the podcast. But some of you know that what's happening is that what's happening at the moment, guys. Anybody who saw my Edinburgh show that I made last year, and many of you did, and thank you for hanging out with me. It has been bought by Disney.
It's hilarious.
Oh, God.
It's a live-action Lion King film.
I'm making a live-action Lion King out of it. No, they ABC, which are a television network in America, have bought my live show, and I'm making it into a pilot for pilot season, which is this unbelievable rapid roller coaster of a thing that you have to hand in your script in December, and then if it goes ahead to pilot, you film it. It's very stressful and very intense.
And it's all played by pilots.
Oh, yeah, everybody
actors.
Is a pilot. Sorry, I'm at aviation school. I'm desperately learning to be a pilot.
I know all about it.
Yes, pilot school has been very intense. Anyway, I find it very difficult to talk about because it sounds pretty insane when people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I guess I'm writing for Disney, actually. But also, if you've seen my live show, it's just me talking. It's exactly this. And I don't, how is that supposed to be television? So that's what I'm doing at the moment. And
It's been quite stressful, and I've sort of just plopped off the edge of just
into the
plopped
abyss.
Off a cliff into the abyss. Mm. And I've been very difficult to work with, and
I
have.
I'm quite sad.
I've been very quite sad and very stressed out, and Stevie has been having to carry me, and so I'm just going to say thank you for doing that.
That's very kind.
And thank you for I know how bad I've been. And thank you for letting me be bad.
I think there's a difference between being bad and having a hard time. But you've just been like having a hard time. You've been absolutely fine. Just I've had to, I've just had to do more of the podcast stuff because I've been like, Tess is having a hard time. Like,
yeah.
But thank you for thanking me.
Well,
it's the most adult thing ever.
Yeah, thank you. And also it's telling people because I never set people when it first happened. Everyone said, is that what are you going to do that as your adult thing? And I was like, no, because it's too much. It's too adult.
That is actually akin to like me going, my adult thing is I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm happy about it.
I'm pregnant, I've got a mortgage, a husband, a home and a dog. And yes. We'd be like, well, now what?
Yes.
Like,
where can we go from here?
Thankfully, it turns out at no stage in your life are you ever like, yes.
I'm an adult
I've
now.
I've done it now. Because, yeah, boy, oh boy. Boy, oh boy. Anyway, so that's my, I guess that's mine. And
great
I'm sorry
one.
I didn't say it earlier, everybody listening. It was not my intention.
The time was not right.
I find it very hard to be to be proud of it, I guess.
Well, it's very hard to say anything as well, because it's also, crucially, it's very not a relatable thing.
No, exactly.
It's not like, oh, I fell over, even if you're like, I don't know, like writing a book or something, people will be like, well, I don't know, like I know people that write books, but you're like, I'm going to LA and writing a show. It's like, I'm sorry.
What? It feels like being like, Stevie, I got chosen for the Mars program, so I'm off to Mars.
Oh, great. And that's very similar. Yes.
Yeah. You're like,
yes.
Sorry?
I wouldn't understand it. Me and Elon are going to Mars together.
Oh, yeah. Elon rang.
Elon rang
again. I'm going to Mars. So I think that's part of it is like, it was equally as alien to me that, everything had to be explained to me before I could explain it to.
Yes. And now it's like settled. That's like with anything. Well, also, this is why we're doing this episode, How to Believe in Yourself, because I think one of the reason that you dropped off the abyss, obviously many reasons, there's not one reason to drop off an abyss, sure, is that like you felt like you couldn't do it maybe, or like it was overwhelming. Not that you couldn't do it, but like it was an overwhelming thing that was like, oh wow, now? I thought I'd at least have another 2 years before someone asked me this.
Can't I practice?
Yeah. I'd like a practice, please. And I think it was like from the outside anyway, it looks like it's been a massive lesson in believing, in forcing yourself to believe in yourself.
Absolutely, Stevie.
Making some good ropes and climbing yourself out that abyss. Do you feel like you're on the way out of the abyss now? / out of it? / still a bit in?
I've certainly got a toe in it, but like I'm much more like, it feels very reckless using dramatic words like drowning, but I'm on my back, just sort of sculling.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
In
it's
the
actually
water.
Kind of pleasant, but
I'm like,
you're
I'm
not
certainly
out.
In the water, but I'm like, I've got this under control a bit more. Mm. Whereas before, I was just calling to you from underneath a wave, being like, can you? Hello? Have you seen that man on a surfboard in a surfboard machine? Like they can. You're just in a little like wave machine. You learn to surf in it.
Oh God, no!
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, cool. And it's just you're just stood on the plastic, like it's not. But he gets tipped over, and they don't shut off the wave machine, so he's just going round and round in this wave, and you can see him like increasing, like it's like he's being waterboarded. It's like, how is he going to get out of here?
He got out.
Yeah, eventually eventually they shut the thing off. But that is how sometimes it can feel, just like holy heavens. I'm just
like a sock.
I'm like a sock in the washing machine, and no matter how much you try and like stay on top, you're just
makes sense.
You know it. You know and love it.
The sock. So yeah, we were talking about how to believe in yourself, which I imagine Tessa can pull from her own experience, but also looking into it.
We have done some looking into it because I think it's been one that has been on the back burner. It's been on my list.
Tessa always says when I go like, oh, do you have anyone to like, how to believe in yourself?
I have been saying it for years.
Said it for a while.
It's because I think it's really fascinating because the more you deep dive into like things about like a negative inner voice or like self-doubt, fear, like why don't we do stuff? You know, because you can do a sort of surface cure of like, which we will get to, of like write down all the things you're proud of, make a gratitude, all this sort
I
of
find
stuff.
Those so difficult because whenever I read those, when I tried to look, I was like all of the lists were the same.
Yeah.
Some of the lists were like literally like, think better about yourself.
Yeah,
like,
and you're like,
well,
gosh,
if I do that,
gosh,
dickhead,
thank you. I've never thought of doing that. And then when you go deeper and deeper and deeper into that, the core of it is like, how have we evolved to not like ourselves? Like, where did that come from? Like, what on earth is the purpose?
Baboons! We don't come from baboons, do we? We come from
it's
fish.
Not-
fish!
Fish.
Fish are very crippling self-esteem animals.
But where, what is the purpose of... if like life is wants to survive and win and produce and like that's it, it wants to stay alive.
Mm.
What is the point of having part of you that doesn't want to do that?
Do you think it's like, do you remember, I can't remember which episode that we did, but we were talking about how, we talk a lot about how like negative emotions have a positive purpose because they drive you.
Yeah.
Like for example, oh, jealousy. We did an absolutely astounding episode on how to overcome jealousy. But there was one thing that I thought was interesting about it, which was, that jealousy is a good marker for looking at where you want to be in your life. Mm-hmm. So you go like, oh, I felt a jealous pang there. Not just, oh, I'm an awful person, but just like, why did I feel like that?
Yes.
I feel like I should be doing that then, maybe. And with self-doubt for me personally, when I feel like I can't do something, it makes me want to have a cry, and then it makes me want to do it more because mm-hmm. I'm like, well, then the satisfaction will be so much. But then obviously you do run the risk of, and it has happened, where I've like not been able to do it. And then be like, cool, so I guess I've just affirmed the fact that I'm shit. So that's not hugely helpful either. But it doesn't have as clear a purpose as like jealousy or envy or fear, because fear is fight or flight, isn't it? It's like there's mm-hmm. a tiger in the cave. Well, if you didn't have any fear, you'd just be like, hello, and then you'd get eaten.
Exactly.
But like, what's the self-doubt bit?
And I guess it is just, your brain is just trying to keep you safe.
Yeah.
And so if we're like nice and safe here in the bed, it's like, well, don't get out of the bed.
Be a bear.
Just stay here. If you're just like alive, you're like, fine, stick with this.
Like a prawn.
A prawn, like we're doing this. And then the prawn's like, I want to write a book about prawns. I want to see what's, hey, I shouldn't be a krill. I should try and see what's over there. Like, I think I should go and investigate. And your brain is like, absolutely not. Mm. Like, no.
There's a sperm whale just waiting to feed you through his weavy teeth.
Yeah, it's like, don't do that. Stay safe. And you're like, but I think that could be, I think I could do it. I think there's possibility and things and stuff and I want to do all these things. And so we've got this huge curiosity and drive and like an imagination and all this stuff.
Because that's how make stuff and mankind do things.
Exactly.
Succeeds.
And then holding hands with it is this awful like, no, stay in the cave, don't do anything. It's scary.
I read this really interesting study that feeds sort of into where at Stanford they tested children's brains doing maths, and the kids that didn't like maths obviously like didn't do as well. But then they did brain scans and they saw that actually there's a possibility that the kids go in being like, maths is boring, I hate maths, and those kids don't do well because they are going in with a negative outlook, where the kids who've been brought up by mathematician parents or whatever will be more likely to have like an open mind, or if the teacher's great, mm-hmm. like, and I've had that as well, like a maths teacher who's been like amazing and suddenly I was like way better at maths, and then it went back to my rubbish teacher because he ran away with a 15-year-old pupil.
Certainly. That is what happened.
Great professionally, always his life was all over the place. Obviously that doesn't overrule natural skill and talent. Mm-hmm. Like you can't just be like, well, if they like maths, it'll be amazing. But it does, like, there is a certain percentage that will be boosted by that. And they use it with sports people as well. There's like a middle ground between like positive thinking and arrogance that they really try and get, because it just makes people like run better, train better. I think that's like kind of feeds into that thing of like, oh, that's why it's useful. If we believe in ourselves, we literally can push physically and scientifically further.
Yes.
Which is, it almost makes you want to believe in yourself more because you're like, oh, right, well, it works.
Yes.
Great.
Exactly. Like that thing about like nature and nurture, like obviously you get born with a certain set of skills and like maybe you are mathematically minded or you can sing or you can do stuff or you're good at running or whatever. But then that's like 10%, like 90% of it is the nurture bit, whether people told you could, whether you told yourself you could. And if you look at like Usain Bolt or like Michael Jordan or like any massive athlete, like all of them are these like, who is the incredible boxer? Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah, that was what I thought. I was like, surely, maybe that was too obvious.
No, that is what I meant.
Yes, I mean, look at his confidence.
He's like, I am the greatest of all time. Like, I am.
Yeah.
This is what I'm capable of.
Like, tennis is like that as well. I always think, like, Roger Federer and, like, Nadal and, like, that kid that recently won. I basically watched tennis recently and it was amazing. I've never seen live tennis before, and it was Roger Federer versus someone and it was great. But the
live?
Yeah.
Oh, did you love it?
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
It's
it was
fun,
absolutely
isn't it,
so fun. It was at the O2, so it was like,
oh wow,
indoors, and they had all these like screens and like flashing lights, and every time someone got an ace, it went ace, and it was like really fun. But like it was so fascinating to see how they start dropping points like his opposition clearly didn't have the mental strength. Like he'd drop a point and then he'd drop a few more points, and then then you could see him like having to give. Whereas Roger Federer just reset every time, sort of a war of your brain versus your other brain in that instance. And he has got to where he has because of incredible skill, but also he used to be like, I watched a documentary on him, he used to throw tantrums, he used to be so upset at himself whenever he got something wrong, he'd like throw his racket, he'd cause real problems, he'd get disqualified from matches and stuff, and then he had to rein it in. And the moment he reined it in and started to psychologically look at it, his talent and skill just absolutely, like that coupled with that, just saw him through and he became what he is now. Basically, I love Roger Federer. That's the take home.
What we're saying, guys. That's clear, and you should write to him.
I should, shouldn't I,
Roger, if you're
I've
listening.
I've got a friend who is his friend.
Wow, you're one handshake away from Roger Federer.
Oh my god. But no, the point is that
the point is with those athletes, like, yes, they're incredible sportsmen, but mostly it's because they believe themselves to be incredible sportsmen.
Or why would you train like 12 hours a day? Like, you just wouldn't do it, would you? You wouldn't be able to push yourself.
Like, when you see Usain Bolt step out on the line and like wave to the cameras and do his like stuff, you're like, ain't nobody beating him. Not because he's the best, or he is the fastest runner in the world, but because like when somebody stands on that, because I always used to think, oh my god, how embarrassed would you be if you came out and you did all that stuff and then you lost?
Yeah.
But it's like, he ain't never gonna lose, because he's come out, that's how he's walked to the line.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm winning this.
Yeah.
And then everyone, there's no way anyone's gonna take him, because everyone's like, you're quite right. Like, nobody else walks out like that and just waves and is like, I've got this, with that level of confidence.
And also, that's actually a good point, because when he did, the last one he did lose, didn't he? And like, look at, no, yeah, I think he lost his last one. Nobody was embarrassed for him.
No, exactly.
So look at what happens when you do, obviously we're talking about Usain Bolt, and like, no one was embarrassed because look at what he's achieved. But the embarrassment level often stops us from believing in ourselves as well. Like, you're frightened to go down a particular career path because you're like, cool, yeah, but like, I'll never be able to do that as an actual job, because what if I fail? And then everyone will be like, well, you should have stuck with the thing that you knew that was boring. Like, it's so frightening. But then the worst case scenario is you just stop doing it and go back to something else. Like, it, no one's ever...
Exactly, like, nothing actually happened to you saying, like, it's, I didn't even know. I clearly love him, and I had no idea he recently...
It was just like, also, if anyone makes you feel bad for trying something different, then you just have to... That's their problem. You have to cut them out of your life immediately. They're dicks. Yeah, you can't hold yourself back and not believe in yourself just because you're, like, frightened to fail.
Absolutely. And I will insert there a quote by...
Grandmother Willow.
No, it's actually...
I'm not interested.
The author Marianne Williamson.
I'm interested. Is she a tree?
She is a tree in her spare time.
Great.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be?
Oh, thank you.
Heavens above.
That, initially, can I just say my thought processes for that quote?
Yeah.
First thought, oh, fuck off. Second thought, no, that is correct. Because when the, I don't know if anybody listening has ever like actually got the thing that they sort of want. So like, just given what we need to just make something amazing, or take that step, or get that, you know, like if you're listening and you suddenly you get a call and it's your dream job, your first thing is like exciting, and then immediately you go, how the fuck am I going to do that? What if I can't do it? Well, the person that used to do it is amazing. How can I ever like fill her shoes? Or like, everyone's going to laugh at me. Like, I don't know enough. Like, and it's a constant battle with yourself, which is so odd, isn't it? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I think it's because like you imagining that, like, oh my goodness, one day when I've got time and money and space,
a tidy room,
I'll just be this wonderful woman, and I will make all the things on my craft list, and I will
be a French onion soup bubbling away.
It'll bubble gloriously. I'll buy a Le Creuset.
What's Le Creuset?
You'd absolutely recognize it. Purple on the outside, cream on the middle. I'm trying to describe. Okay, it's a cat. Sorry, it's a cat.
Just describe describe the most bizarre thing.
Okay, it's a casserole dish.
Right.
But famously, they're like either red or a lovely shade of blue on the outside.
And cream white in the middle. Yes.
And they're really heavy cast iron things and they're quite expensive.
Yes, okay,
and you
great.
Would put, you know, people make things for like the whole day and then they just sit on the little crozier.
Oh, yeah. Know? When you've got like an agar and a slow cooker
and
as so, well.
Yeah, and, you, and that's the sort of thing you'd make a lovely ragu or something in your
crozier. Oh, sure. I mean, just the word casserole just gets me like,
at a push, I know what it is. Would not know for sure what a casserole
I'm
is.
I'm going to Google it now.
Okay, what, that feels like a good use.
No, let's take a guess. It's a slow cooked stew, is it? Like a stew is whatever you've got in and just some water in it. Like, you know.
Could be.
A shoe, a toothbrush.
Pop a shoe in.
Pop some water on, put it in a casserole dish.
And you're away.
It's a casserole.
Lid on the crozier, we're done.
We should release a cookbook.
Well, I think that is a huge issue. The casserole issue. The like, if you know, when I've got time and this is how we got here.
Not knowing what casserole.
No,
is,
this is how we got here. There's like,
yes,
when you've got this time and this space, you always, because then you're like, that's what holds me back. Of course I could, but I don't have the time. And then when the time is presented to you, you crumble under that.
It's time
not
now.
You one crumbles.
I crumble.
You crumbled. I crumbled. Like one crumbles under the pressure of being given the thing that you thought was what was holding you back. And that goes away, and suddenly you're like, oh, actually, the thing that holds me back is me.
Yes, like, because then it's like someone going, well, go on then.
I pretended it was time and money and space and all of those things, but it wasn't. It's just me. And now I have to address the fact that that fear is just inside me and that there isn't any obstacle I can point at. Nothing physical outside of me I can point at that's holding me back. I have to admit that it is me that is
and
holding me
and
back.
And it's crunch time.
That's
it's
the
like,
most profound shit I've ever said, Stevie.
It's amazing. I love it.
Thank you.
It's like, you know, you can... I always feel like that, you know, when, again, it's... sort of thing of like that build up and then it gets to crunch time, it's like, well, go on then, like now you actually have to perform.
Yeah.
And I think the more you've given yourself this massive build up of like when this, when that, without realizing it.
Yes, absolutely.
And actually we could all do without the build up. That's one of the tips I was reading about, just like stop being like your own like adverse hype man of like, you can do it when this, you can do it when this, because then you're just waiting for this golden time on this hill, and by the time that is, like, you've been clapped onto the stage, your mic's been put in front of you and you're supposed to sing like Beyonce and you're like, actually, I don't know, can I just have some time please? You've been so busy wondering about what you're not going to do that you haven't actually prepared for it. Because if you just like casually start preparing for it now and just like putting things in place now, like this moment, then there's not a build up. You're just doing it. And then you realize it's just a very normal life thing.
Exactly. Which I think is so important to like, just do, if you have a thing that you want, that you think, if you have something in your mind, if that's like redecorating the kitchen or learning to make tiles, macrame.
Maybe a career thing.
Moving up in your job, redoing your CV, making a website.
Sure.
Having business cards.
Having business.
Making a business. Whatever your thing is. Minor or major as a life choice, go right ahead right now and do 2 minutes.
Yeah, just like planning it out. Like,
because even, yeah.
Like pretend that someone's asked you to do it and then put some little things in place. Are you struggling for something to read, Tessa?
Oh, absolutely, always.
Because audiobooks.com have given us a recommendation for December specifically for cozy, absorbing reads.
Oh, yes, please.
Upon the wintry night.
Oh, yes. Curl up like Jane Eyre.
If you use the promo code NobodyPanic, you get 2 free books.
What?
Yeah. 2 free books to download. So I have like limited time, obviously, because I could talk about these books for ages, but I'm just going to give you like a hint. I'm going to sell it in a sentence.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. Book one, My Sister, the Serial Killer.
Oh, God.
By Oyinkan Braithwaite.
Mm-hmm.
Sister's a psychopath. Main person.
Yes.
Gets pulled into her ways.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, don't say you're not interested.
No, I am.
I'm interested.
I can't lie. Yeah,
and I read the whole blurb. Right. You Don't Own Me by Alifair Burke. Murder, Intrigue, Modern Day, New York.
Oh, yes, please.
Hello. Melmoth by Sarah Perry.
Wait, I'd like to know about the murder one.
Okay, so...
Fun, flirty...
No.
Dark, psychological thriller.
Okay, no, sort of
like...
Are
we going to solve it? Agatha Christie? Where are we talking here?
Well, we're going to solve it Agatha Christie style, but it's also a happy, happy woman, freshly engaged, having a great time. People start coming out of the woodwork. Oh, did the ex-wife do it? Someone's dead. I can't reveal too much.
What's this one called?
It's called You Don't Own Me.
Yes, okay, great, thank you.
Number 3, Melmoth by Sarah Perry. For people that like fantasy, but like...
She's wonderful, Sarah Perry.
Fantasy, like, steeped in reality. So you've got...
Magical realism, if you will.
Your modern day, thank you, magical realism. You've got your modern day, You've got your mysterious dark-robed figures.
Oh, hello.
You've got your letters. Well, who's the letter from? Tells of a legend. Where is the legend? How does it affect our protagonist?
Yes.
I think I should do this as a job.
I can't believe it's not your job already.
It's amazing. Right, finally, we've got the Travelling Cat Chronicles. Very, very popular. By Hiro Arakawa. Absolute international bestseller. Owner, cat, voice to both of them.
Right.
They go on the road.
Gosh.
For what they think is just going to be a fun time to visit. Her and the cat. Just to visit some friends. Mm. Or so they think.
Oh, God.
Hijinks happen.
Hello.
Courage. Love. Loyalty. Mm. Learning the meaning of all of those things.
Fantastic.
Apparently, it's a lot of fun. So, I mean, surely there's something for
What's
everyone.
What's the cat one called?
The Travelling Cat Chronicles.
Mm, I'll be getting that one.
So thank you so much to audiobooks.com.
We're going to be doing put in Nobody Panic as a code and you get two free books?
Two free audiobooks to download. To listen through your ears.
I'm going to do it right now. Hello, Cat Chronicles. Here I come.
Hello. Bye.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I like to think, I mean, there's very few actual tips that I liked in the, like, how to believe yourself stuff. Because it was like, go to a life coach. And you're like, who is this written for? But one thing I liked, which was like, it was like, don't let fear stop you. And I was like, fear stop me. And then I, it's just like, oh, okay, then thanks, you've solved my problem. But it did say, I mean, it very boldly states this article, fear stands for, it's like, no, it doesn't, it's not an acronym, but it's nice that you're saying
why
it.
Not? Yeah, go fear, on then.
Go on then, give
you
it
can
to
tell
me.
We're very hard to teach.
Fear stands for, it's actually quite good.
Okay.
False evidence that appears real. And I think that's
bloody hell. That
is
good.
That's a huge thing where it's like,
the false evidence that appears real is so good, and I'm going to really think about that, because I think a big part of the issue is that when you're trying to believe in, when you have to believe in yourself, it's both of them is you, you know, and it's that accepting of like all those negative thoughts like are also you, and like really, you know, finding yourself in amongst all of that. And if you say like, I don't think I'm very good at this, and someone says like,
yes,
that's a negative thought, like, of course you are. You're like, you don't think that's you think, no, you're wrong.
Yes.
That thought is real. And so it's hard to decipher like what's a useful thought and what is a negative thought. And so any thought that begins with, if I've said like, if someone says to you like, you should go and learn the trapeze, whatever, and if your answer is like, oh, but what if this, or but this, or but anything that comes to mind,
buts.
Immediately,
all buts.
Any buts and any what ifs, they are all in the negative thought camp, and they can be ignored.
Yeah,
and even though you're like, no, they shouldn't be ignored. They're sensible. They're not sensible.
Not sensible.
You have in that camp.
Look at
let
facts
them go.
As well. Only like just write down like the facts of the situation. If you're, you know, if you're frightened about an event, or you're frightened about taking a job that you don't think you will be good enough for, or starting a blog, or starting a podcast, or doing something you're like, oh, I can't do that. Write down all of the facts, the things that you can do, you know how to do, and then the things that you don't know, people can help you, and like write down the people that would be able to help you, and write down like the worst case, in the worst case scenario, it won't work. That's literally all that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's no embarrassment. Everyone's attention spans are like 4.3 seconds.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Write out those what if thoughts to their logical worst conclusion and be like, okay, What if that does happen?
Yes. And if
may I tell you what Honoré de Balzac, the French author, said?
The heir of the Balzac.
Certainly could be. I think it's Honoré de Balzac, but it sounds like Balzac.
I don't think we should say that. I feel bad now.
He's dead.
His name sounds like Balzac.
He's like an old French. He's funny. Look him up.
Okay. I mean, I will do, yeah.
This very second.
Okay.
He's just so jowly. And also, do check he's dead.
Well, he was born in 1850, so I certainly hope he's dead. Yeah, he's great. He looked like a French Balzac.
Yeah.
It was like someone has very nicely popped a little moustache and some hair.
On a Balzac.
On a Balzac, yes.
He's absolutely wonderful. And I can't wait to read more of his work. But he said, Stevie, and he wrote that down in his book.
Oh my God.
When you doubt your power, you give power to your doubt.
That's great.
Good stuff, isn't it?
I take it all. I know you still look like a Balzac, but a happy Balzac.
A happy, yeah. He's got a Balzac with some wise words.
Very wise Balzac.
Because it's so true that we are so good at feeding that fear machine.
Oh yeah.
And you can imagine your fear machine like your actual grandma, you know, who's she's so worried for you because she just wants you to be safe and happy and okay. And so therefore she's like, oh, you know, don't make a fuss. Don't do anything. Don't, you know, don't play on that. Don't, you know, someone's trying to just keep you safe constantly.
Yeah.
But you just have to be like, thank you for your fear. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your fear.
Thank you for your fear. Thank you for your concern. But this is going ahead now. And also don't try and accept also that it's never going away. There is no sense. There is no place where like that fear is gone or you're suddenly like, oh, I can do this.
Yes.
It will always be there. You just have to. The difference between you and Usain Bolt or you
Beyonce.
Or Beyonce or is mostly the singing voice and the incredible thighs and hair and,
yeah.
And you know,
she is my queen.
She's your queen. But the main difference, yeah, there's obviously many, many differences between you and Beyonce. But the main one is just that she, between any successful people who do something that you wish you could do, the main thing is just they have found better coping mechanisms than you have currently got to deal with that fear. So it's not that they don't
That's
have
so
it.
Great. I like
it's not
that
they're not there. It's just they have got currently better coping mechanisms. And the magical thing about coping mechanisms is you can just learn them.
Yes, learn, make one.
Make them up. Learn them. Make up a good one, but learn them, make them, teach them yourself. Like, just put those things in place. And that's literally the only difference.
Yeah, amazing.
It's not that no one else has, you know, those same doubts. They're there. They're just as big as yours are.
Yeah, Beyonce would have been really frightened growing up and performing for the first time when Destiny's Child disappeared. That's so hard. And she had to go solo. And then,
right.
But like, she rose to the challenge, like the queen she is.
Yeah. And her, I think we've talked, we've talked about Beyonce before. We talk about Beyonce every episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, her inventing Sasha Fierce as, you know, this confident person who could do it. She's just that thing about, like, faking the confidence that you wish you had.
Yes.
Just forcing yourself to believe in yourself. Or believing in forcing yourself.
Because it's your own brain. The job is you have to trick your own brain, which is obviously really hard. But then at the same time, it's actually deceptively simple. Because you just have to, the more you do it, the more your brain, I read something when I was researching for this, like that your brain, your habits and your thought processes are built by the amount of times you tell your brain to do something. So if you're constantly telling your brain that you're shit, then your brain's default will be, well, I can't do that because I'm shit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just fakingly start telling your brain, no, I can actually do that. I actually think I could do that. I could try doing that. I could certainly like, and just keep like feeding your brain with those sorts of like information. Then your whole chemistry will change. Your thought paths will change. That's why, unfortunately, those lists are all so lame, like constant affirmations every morning. You're like, I wake up late and I have 4 minutes to get that house. I have time to do affirmations. I've got to do my teeth.
Mm.
Have a shower. That is, it's good advice because chemically it works. So you have to just keep catching yourself when you find your brain telling you a thing like, well, I can't do that. You go, actually, challenge it
the time. Thank you for that thought, but I'm going to let that go. Well, thank you for that thought. I'm going to challenge it.
Mm.
And it can sound super wishy-washy and like you're like, weird way of talking to yourself. But I think it's the literature and the evidence suggests it's a good idea.
It's necessary. Very powerful stuff, though.
Very powerful. Who's that man? Is it Hillary? Hang on one second. Who climbed Everest? Edmund or William Hillary? Edmund, right?
I've no idea. I don't know any. No one said, which I think is really important, surrounding yourself with people who believe in you.
Yes.
Because quite a lot of people I know will have a time of not believing in themselves, a low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And then they'll come out of it and look back and go, my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my friends or I was my flatmate or my parents were so down on me. Mm-hmm. No wonder I didn't think I could do something. You're like, at the time, they didn't realise. So it might be worth just clocking, like, are there friends that make you feel bad? Or are there, like, is your partner being as supportive as they could be? Or is it like that kind of like faux supportive? It's like, you do your little projects. Oh, I love your little blogs. And you're like, I want to be a journalist. Like, all of that stuff. I think it can often, you can often get into a situation which isn't very nice and quite toxic without even realising.
Yeah, and check with yourself if, you know, if in answering that question of like, is this friend actually nice? If you say like, no, but it's because they're this, and you think of an excuse, be like, okay, you do you, but like, just check with yourself. Be like,
the lady doth protest too much.
Why
methinks.
Are you? Yeah, what, you know, just really, because it's those things are not fun or nice to have to look at or explore or go, you know,
yeah,
have to check with yourself. Like, it's not nice. There's a reason we don't do it. There's a reason we're like, this is fine. You know, yeah. We don't want to have to admit, you know, actually this person is very nice to us. Then it's like, and now what am I, what's going
to
happen?
To do?
Now what are we supposed
Which
to do?
Which you can just, it's quite simple, just hang out with other people.
Hang out with us, we'll support you. I will support you too hard. People have told me I need to back off on people's, my support of people's yes. projects. Mm. But I will, yeah, there'll be so much love coming at you. So I hope you can, you know, attempt to believe in yourself, attempt to sort of wade through the self-doubt and stop listening to it so much and, like, listen to the bit of you, even if it's my voice, listen to the voice of me saying, you can do this, actually. And also, like, so what if you can't? And why not? Like, you go right ahead and do it.
Like, is that a horrible cliche of, like, you've only got one life? But then when you really think about it, you literally have. Yeah. So life is too short to want to do something and not do it.
Yeah, and I know you didn't like Marianne Williamson.
I really liked it because I said, number one, fuck off. Number two, really engaged in it. If you remember, I told a whole story about
you did,
it.
I I remember it vividly.
I'm getting it tattooed but on my butt cheek as we speak.
The end of her piece on that is that your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you.
That's quite good. That's the thing of like walking into a party and being like, oh, hello, just me. Oh, I fell over. On
me,
shit.
I've shot myself probably. I've don't mind
myself.
Me.
Oh, no.
You know, and of course, because we've all met people who walked in and were like,
and have shot themselves. And
we've been like, anyone got a massive cock? I think it's me. You know, people, people who've
walked. If you've got a massive cock. You can't see, hands in the air, it's me.
Someone who you've met, somebody who's like so outrageously arrogant or confident or cocky.
Turns out they're often very insecure.
Exactly, and so you're so therefore you're like, oh well, don't be like them. They're awful. Mm. So exactly that. Like, try and find that sweet, sweet point. You know,
if you do find that sweet, sweet point, you will know, because you won't have to try. You'll feel so much happier. I don't think everyone has that sweet point the whole time, but it's
no,
just
no, never.
If, again, if you have it ever, that's a real, that's amazing. Living. Most quietly confident people, they have had a period of time where they had to work on themselves, mm-hmm. and so they didn't just like wake up as a baby and were like in Greek myths where the baby like wakes up and then just like immediately like
kills
a goat and then like makes a feast. Yeah. And you're like, wow, well, really
but that's Hercules and. And he had to do some, you know, he had to get some stuff. He had some issues.
He had some issues.
And he had to work on them.
Yes, absolutely.
He had 12 labours, for God's sake.
I mean, that is
so people were like, well, Hercules could do it. Like, yeah, but it took him ages.
Mm, it did. Just think about it. It took Hercules ages.
Because we don't, as we talked about so many times, we don't ever see, when we literally, in the movies, they make it into a montage, that boring bit.
Yes!
Because it's boring.
Yes.
It's boring to watch. And they put some music behind it. And we don't see it because if we watch the one, we're like, this is exhausting.
Yes, because it is exhausting. Yeah, it's ugly and it's like, it's mundane and it's boring. But that's what gives us the good stuff.
Yeah, and you have to, unfortunately, like, yeah, it's been, the bit that's sped up in the movies is the bit that's the actual slowest in life, and I'm sorry, everyone.
It'd be the longest part of the movie, wouldn't it? It'd be like the sort of 17-week section.
Yeah, because that's not the stories we tell.
No.
But they aren't interesting or exciting to watch. They aren't interesting to watch someone get up at 5 a.m. every morning and, you know, go rowing. Yes, I believe in you very much. If you want to send us a secret email with the thing that you're trying to do that you don't want to tell other people, you can do that.
God, please do.
We'll have it. We'll believe in you from a distance.
nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also tell us more publicly.
At nobodypanicpod.
At Stevie M, the S is a 5.
At Tessa Coates. Just letters.
That's me. And I will leave you with this thing from Edmund Hillary, who climbed, what did he climb, Stevie?
Everest.
Correct.
I learned that off air.
Edmund Hillary said, "It is not the mountain we conquer, but ourselves."
Oh my God, Edmund!
Edmund.
Did he die up there?
No, he came down.
Oh, so that's
And famously, his Sherpa, Tenzing, is actually who stepped... We should, you know... He always gets forgotten whenever people talk about Edmund Hillary.
That's often the way.
Because his Sherpa came with him. Tenzing Norgay came with him and I think stood there first, actually.
Well, good on Tenzing Norgay.
And also had, like, done a recce and, like, run up to check it for him, you know?
So, yeah.
Like, people always say it was Hillary the first on Everest, but it was probably...
It was not.
It wasn't.
Well, I hope that helped. And if you come to the party tomorrow, see you tomorrow, where I face my fears.
And I'll also be there.
And Tessa will also be there. She's not frightened. She's bold as love.
She's bold as brass.
And see you next week. We're gonna have next week's episode will be the live one. So if you're not coming, you'll be able to listen to it. And have a lovely Christmassy second week of the Christmas.
Happy middle of Advent.
Yay!
Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.